Can't decide and torn between a romantic, comedy, action, or an indie film to watch for the weekend? Well, well, well. Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast is your ultimate guide to the latest movies. Join us as we dissect the latest on the blockbusters. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast.
Welcome to the GSMC Movie Podcast, brought to you by GSMC Podcast Network. I'm your host, Stacey. And if you listen to the most recent episode, you may have heard me say several times that I am not really into video games. And I'm not. I once had a Game Boy Color Extended. Something. It's the one that came after Color, but before, the ones where you flip up, where it was sort of long the wide way instead of the tall way, and the cartridges were about the half size of the regular Game Boy Color cartridges. And I know some of the listeners out there are just screaming what that Game Boy is called, but I've completely forgotten. I apologize. And I only had the two games for it. One was a Harry Potter game, and one was a Legend of Zelda game. And I think I played them together maybe a dozen times total, because I don't even remember where I got in the Harry Potter game, but I got in the Legend of Zelda game to this like underground cavern where there was like a floating head shooting fireballs at me or something. And I couldn't figure out how to get past that part. And I was just like, nope. I don't care enough about this game to continue playing it. Like, my mother actually at one point took it away from me as a punishment and then didn't give it back for over a year. And I completely forgot I even had that game because I just never played it. So I didn't really miss it. So that makes this episode kind of ironic, because the two movies we're talking about today, Ready Player One and Jumanji Welcome to the Jungle, are both set in video games. So this will be an interesting conversation, I guess. So our first movie, Ready Player One, is set in the near future, 2045, in Columbus, Ohio. And it's sort of a, not quite a dystopian, I would say, but life seems to be pretty crappy, at least for the main character, Wade Watts, who spends his time, like most of, it seems, the population of 2045, you know, Columbus, Ohio, certainly, but the world, online in this virtual reality world called Oasis. And I mean, the real world is really terrible. The opening of this has Wade climbing down and through and around what looks to be a skyscraper made out of trailers, which, ignoring the physics of if that's even possible, just looks like the most miserable place. But everyone has these virtual reality glasses on, so most of them don't even notice as he like climbs through their windows and out their doors and what have you. It's a really intricate way to get in and out of his trailer, evidently. But in this virtual reality game, where somehow it seems most of the world spends their time, so I'm not even sure if anyone actually works, you can be whoever you want to be. And so Wade's avatar is named Parsival, and clearly looks like an avatar. He's got like blue glowy skin, and he can change his hair very quickly. But there's this sort of hidden puzzle in the Oasis that the creator of the Oasis, Holiday, created right before he died. So in this puzzle, the gamers are trying to find a hidden Easter egg, which people, not only gamers, but I think, you know, probably people who've seen like Pixar films would know Easter eggs are things that are sort of hidden. They don't look like anything until you discover them or click on them or what have you. And then they actually turn out to be something else, like a real physical Easter egg. So to find this Easter egg, the players have to find three hidden keys left by the dead creator. But these keys aren't easy to find. It's evidently been, by the time we come to the film, 5 years since the creator died, and no one's found even one key, because you have to, it's all based off of the creator's life and his love of like 1970s and 80s pop culture. And I originally, this was based off a book, and I was going to read the book, and then I saw that it was based off of 80s pop culture, and I am not a child of the 80s. And I just saw that, and I was just like, yeah, no. But thankfully for this one, I didn't originally want to see this, and then I saw the previews and saw that there was at least the Iron Giant in the previews. And I remember thinking, wait, I totally remember the Iron Giant from when I was a child. Is that, that's not an 80s thing, is it? Because that movie came out when I was a child. Was there also a version in the 80s? And I looked it up and no, there wasn't, although the story for the Iron Giant has existed since 1968. But so this, the movie changes things in that it's not just 70s and 80s pop culture. It's sort of pop culture from the 70s up to not our current day, but probably around our current day, because there's a lot, there is a lot of pop culture references in this film. And it's kind of fun to sort of watch and see how many you can recognize, because I know probably at least half of them went over my head. But in this world of pop culture references, where people can choose to be whoever they want, as they're trying to find these keys, Wade, or Parsifal, has his friends that he often meets up with, H and Dido and Sho, and they're all Gunters as well, or Egg Hunters. That's the name for them, is Gunters. And they meet a female, Artemis, who is this like famous Gunter who also tends to take out the Sixers. And the Sixers work for the corporation IOI, which is a sort of evil overlording corporation that hires all these people who are called Sixers just because they don't even have names. Their game name is just their number, which generally starts with 66, to try and find the egg so that they can control Oasis. And IOI like makes a bunch of things for the game, like this full bodysuit that allows you to feel what's happening to your avatar. So it already has a lot in this game, but the creator, Sorrento, wants to find the egg so that he can completely control Oasis. So it turns out to be Wade and his friends versus IOI throughout most of the film. And it's fine. I mean, for a video game film, it's pretty cool. I don't think they could have made this film even 10 years ago to look the way it does, because the special effects are interesting, because it's mixing, you know, things that look very much video game-ish, like modern day pixels, with things that look sort of cartoonish, with things that look almost film level of what have you. So in like the first mission, there's this huge race that everyone gets involved with, which has a lot of crashes. Like everybody dies in this race. No one's ever finished this race because the race is the first way to get the first key. But near the end of the race, there is a Kong from King Kong. And it looks a lot like he did, at least for the trailers for the modern day King Kong films. I haven't seen them. So it looks like that level of graphics. But then Wade's avatar, Parsifal, definitely looks like more of a computer game graphic. So there's all levels of graphics going on. There is a scene about maybe two-thirds of the way through where the characters jump into a movie, which I won't spoil. If you haven't heard what movie that is, don't spoil it for yourself. It's pretty cool to see in the film. But they jump into a movie, a real-life movie, and the way they did that with taking these clear video game avatar characters into what was a live-action film looks so fantastic. It looks absolutely not believable, because the characters don't look believable, but you do kind of feel like you're in that actual film and its location. It was just amazing to look. The movie is very cool to look at. However, story-wise, it's a little there is, of course, a love story between Wade, Parsifal, and Artemis, whose real name I won't tell because that's spoiling it. And this love story is just A, unnecessary, and B, almost immediate. Like, Wade sees her and is, of course, blown away by her because reasons for love stories, I guess, I'm not sure. And then it's just like immediately after he's met her maybe twice, it's like, I'm in love with her. It's like, how are you in love with the person who, A, you don't really know their real name, and B, as he has this conversation we see with H, you don't actually even know is actually the person you think she is. It could be like some 40-year-old dude in his living room. Like, you have no idea who's on the other side of a game avatar. You only know the game avatar why are you in love with her? This is the like definition of not real. And it's, again, it's really unnecessary love story. Like, nothing would change in the story whatsoever if Parsifal and Artemis were just friends instead of Parsifal being in love with her. Like, none of his actions would change. I don't think anything that results would change. Like, it would be the same story just without the love, but they'd still be friends. So he'd probably still do exactly what it's really just completely unnecessary. And it feels at times that there were things cut out of this film, or that there are maybe, when the film comes out on DVD, there might be a lot of deleted scenes, because there's a lot of things that don't quite make sense or were referencing that we kind of missed the backstory for. So like the main bad guy, Sorrento, who's the CEO of IOI, has sort of his girl Friday, who's, I don't actually even remember her name in the film. I had to look her up. It looks like it's Finale Xandor. I'm not even sure if that's how it's pronounced. I really don't remember her name. But there's a reference he makes when talking to her about her recently becoming a board member and getting a higher position, which makes it sound like he had something to do with it. And they have this whole, at least understanding, if not previous relationship. But then that's not explained or really talked about again, but she's supposedly supposed to be thankful to him for some reason or something. Like, it clearly seems like we missed part of your backstory and we just cut it out because we have to get this film within a certain amount of timing. I don't know. Like, there's a lot of other things, like there's a character in here who also helps Sorrento called Irock, and his character is pretty fun, but we don't get his backstory, even at the point where we kind of get everyone else's backstory because something happens where we have to get out of the game. We never get him for some reason. And we never get the explanation with how the aunts, so Wade lives with his aunt and her terrible boyfriend, and she just evidently goes through like a string of terrible boyfriends. And there's one point where the boyfriend is thanking Wade for like his bodysuit, which makes it sound like he stole Wade's bodysuit, but then Wade has a bodysuit. And there's just a lot where it's just like Halliday's presence in the game and how that whole thing works. Just, it's like, it feels like you had scenes that explain this and then cut them, but that cut's not super clear. So it looks like you almost just finished saying something or something, but we're not going to show that. So I don't know. I really do imagine that there must be a good amount of deleted scenes for this film, that they filmed a whole bunch of stuff and then we're like, okay, we need to get this under, you know, 2.5 hours or whatever. You have to cut that out. And there are a lot of other things I know that they had to cut out for this film. Like, I love the Iron Giant in this film, and I love the fact that it is the Iron Giant because childhood nostalgia. But in looking that up and trying to figure out if that was something from the 80s, it turns out that's not what was mentioned in the book. But then when they went to do it for the film, they couldn't get the rights to whatever it was actually mentioned in the book. And so they had to choose something else. And there's a lot of that where like the director of this film is Steven Spielberg. And you would expect kind of, especially if the creator of this game, World Oasis, was really into 70s and 80s culture, that you would see a lot of Steven Spielberg references, but you really don't, because he didn't want it to seem like a glory project of him just putting in all his own stuff, which, thank you, Mr. Spielberg, I greatly appreciate that. But on the other hand, it's very clearly noticeable, if you know anything about the 80s, where there aren't things that you would totally expect. There are some interesting things that you wouldn't expect. Like, I know at one point, and this is not really a spoiler because it doesn't do anything, it's just sort of a see if you can catch it sort of thing. The Firefly shows up, Serenity, which I love. I was just like, wait, is that what? Oh, you did. And they mention, of course, Millennium Falcon when they start talking about spaceships. And just there's a whole list at the end of the credits of just like courtesy of this really long scrolling list of all the things that they have to, you know, send thanks for letting to be in this film. A bit like Wreck-It Ralph, which was also set in video game worlds, which had a bunch of video game characters that, of course, the film studio didn't have the rights for and therefore had to go and get the rights to. There's a lot of that in this. But there's also a lot of the world, for the most part, the video game world, I'll say makes sense. Again, not a gamer myself, so I'm not quite sure. And it does talk a bit about gaming at beginning and how gaming works. And then Wade's character has a monologue a little later about why gaming and gamers are cool, I guess, or something. But there's other parts where I'm just like, is that how video games work? Is that actually how that would like function in the video game world? So for example, there's one part in here where you see a lot in the film when people get sort of destroyed, their character just completely disappears in this like burst of coins because, you know, you died. And then your coins are there for any other player to pick up, which I think, sure, I'll go with, I think that's in video games. But then later, there's a character who gets injured, and rather than like exploding into coins, it's just sort of bleeding coins. And it's just like, how does that work? Shouldn't you, if you're that, well, that strongly injured that you're bleeding coins, shouldn't you be like not there anymore whatsoever? So, I mean, it feels a bit like Tron Legacy, where the rules of this world are not super clear. But overall, even though I'm not a gamer and not into 80s pop culture, I don't think you need to be either of those to enjoy this film. It was fun. It was pretty to look at. It didn't, in our last episode, we talked about Tomb Raider and how each of the things felt like a video game level. And even though this has video game levels, because obviously they're trying to find these three keys, it doesn't feel like just level to level. There is a bit of a story going on behind it, and you do feel when you're in the real world that you're in the real world. So I think overall it works pretty well. So we're going to take a short break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about another film set in a video game that I wouldn't have thought originally was set in a video game, Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle. So stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Movie Podcast.
Watching TV has changed over time. Streaming has become the new norm. That's why Golden State Media Concepts Television Podcast dives headfirst to the world of cord cutting. Want to be on the loop of what's hot in Netflix? Or if it's not a preference, what about original shows in Hulu? We've got you covered. Join us as we fill in the blanks and talk about movies to stream and what show you should be binging. This is the Golden State Media Concepts Television Podcast.
Welcome back. You're listening to the GSMC Movie Podcast, and today we're talking about two video game-based films, Ready Player One and Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle. And interestingly, both video game-based films, not actually based on video games, but based somewhat on books. So our second film, Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle, is not quite a sequel and not maybe more of a reboot. I'm not quite sure how to describe it, but we'll just go with sequel boot. We won't make up words. But anyway, so it's set in modern day times, even though, of course, the first Jumanji film with Robin Williams took place in 1995, which is when that movie was made. And it was based off of a book about this board game that has real life consequences for playing, with stampedes and hunters and getting sucked into jungles. This Jumanji has an interesting twist, I guess you would say. Not quite a twist, but a way to update the film, in that very quickly in the beginning, you do see the regular box Jumanji with the dice and the players and all that, but then it somehow manages to turn itself into a video game, not a console, cartridge, a video game cartridge to be played that way. Which is, of course, an interesting way to upgrade it to more modern day times. So the characters are 14s, and they're not friends exactly, but they all end up for various reasons in the school basement in detention, where they're supposed to be taking staples out of magazines, that storyline doesn't really matter. But the point is, we all end up in this basement with all this old stuff for detention when we all don't think we want to be here and shouldn't be here. And they happen to find this old video game console with the Jumanji game and decide, even though with this detention, if they don't finish, they have to show up tomorrow, which is Saturday. Oh, hey, let me take the time to play this video game before I get back to doing my detention task. Sure, whatever. They each select a character, and the characters are sort of pre-assigned in a video game. They have really ridiculous names like Dr. Bravestone and Ruby Roundhouse. So silly. And they each have their own characteristics with their strengths and weaknesses. So the teens, it's not the teens going in, but it is the teens going in. Because as they get sucked into the video game, they physically become these characters, which makes them the cast that you see on the poster with Dwayne The Rock Johnson and Jack Black and Kevin Hart and Karen Gillan. And it's, oh man, I'm not a big fan of Jack Black and generally don't really like Kevin Hart, but I think everyone in this movie plays their roles really well, because of course it's them in their own bodies pretending to be these teenagers who are completely freaked out and not expecting to be who they are at all. And they all do this, like, A, freak out, or B, I'm so over this, so well, especially Jack Black's character, which I won't spoil, but is so funny. Oh my gosh. So originally I was like, okay, wait, a video game, just what? And how does this tie in with the original 1995 film? To which the answer is, not so much. Jumanji, which seems to be, you know, sort of conscious or something by turning itself into a video game, seems also to sort of change storylines, it seems a bit. Because in the original one, the main... I don't know if you could say there's a main villain in Jumanji, but the main villain going after Robin Williams' character is this hunter, Van Pelt, who's wearing like a pith helmet and khakis and looks like he's from maybe the 1800s, and if not, at least like no earlier than the turn of the 20th century. But maybe by virtue of this being a video game, when these teens end up in Jumanji, it seems like the Jumanji can't be much older than maybe 40 or so years, that they've got, you know, some sort of Jeep or whatever going on, and the clothing that a lot of the characters wear seems very modern. So we're definitely not in the pith helmet whatever era we were with the board game Jumanji. Video game Jumanji has jumped several decades, if not a couple of centuries. But they're still in the jungle. The main bad guy's character is again named Van Pelt. So I guess that's just sort of the stock villain in a Jumanji game. I'm not sure. He has this interesting power, which I also won't spoil. But the storyline given behind how he got this power makes it seem like he shouldn't actually have this power for pretty much the whole film. But somehow he does. And I guess, fine, he's a villain and we need to have conflict. So sure. But he shouldn't. It doesn't quite make sense. I do like, though, that in this film, one of the teens is a self-proclaimed video game nerd. He spends all his time playing video games. So he understands it well and starts explaining it to the other teens in video game terms. So at one point, they come across a character in the Jeep who gives them a ride and is explaining things to them. But he keeps repeating himself. And finally, the video game teen is like, oh, he's an NPC. And they're like, a what? And so am I. I'm like, a what? And that's evidently a non-player character, which is a character that can't be played by a player, but is there to sort of give you information and give you your task and tell you what to do next. And, you know, if you go and try and talk to him again, he'll just repeat the same thing because he only has a set number of things that he can say. And that comes up a couple of times. It's actually played pretty well when the characters are like, I only have, you know, the one thing I can say. I will just keep saying it until you do some sort of action. But the teens are quite funny in this film, especially when they're not teens anymore, but are the main cast. There's one girl who's very much just set evidently on going to college and going to Princeton and doesn't want to do anything that doesn't seem like it would help that task. And she's given the character of Ruby Roundhouse, whose like subtitle name is Killer of Men, and looks like, you know, sort of your typical sexy female video game character. And the girl immediately, when she realizes this is her, is like, why am I wearing this stupid outfit? This is a terrible outfit to go running around the jungle in. Which, yes, I agree. It is a terrible outfit. She's wearing like a crop top, which for some odd reason also has like a leather harness thing going on, and shorts. And it's just like, yeah, probably not really helpful if you're going around in a jungle. But if you're going around in a video game where, you know, you have health bars and can gain lives and whatever, sure, why not? But she's immediately like, this is stupid. But then she later asks a character to borrow their jacket to cover up. And I'm like, yes, thank you for making this commentary on how actually ridiculous this is. But then she ties it around her waist. And it's just like, I thought we were so there, but then we still have to have the hot girl look like the hot girl because our main audience is what, teenage boys? Why, if you're so upset and want to cover up, would you tie that around your waist? It literally does nothing tied around your waist. You're still wearing a crop top and shorts, and we can tell you're wearing a crop top and shorts. She does later put it on for some reason and then takes it off again for some reason. But yeah, it's very much just like, yes, hot video game girl must stay hot video game girl. Whatever. And I mean, there's other things in that where it does seem to sort of abide by video game rules. Maybe. I guess video game people, you'll have to let me know if that's really the case. I don't know. But they do have things where, like, you know, if they die, they do have a set number of lives, and that's used very interestingly in this film. But it's also the way they discover that they have a set number of lives is kind of funny. But then there's certain things they can do and certain things they can't do. And it's, I don't even know what sort of video game this would be where they find they have to work together to get out of this game, or otherwise they may die here, which of course they are. That's just sort of how teens who don't like each other films tend to go. But it does then bring up the question of, if they weren't all here, if only like one person had decided to play this game by themselves, or if they chose different characters. The missions seem very specific at times to one character or another, so if you weren't that character, you just died? Or how does that, I don't quite understand how that would work, but sure. I don't know. Again, very video gamey, but without feeling set. And they do take the time to explain it. There is a map, and parts of the map only, they don't exist on the map until you've like cleared a level. So once you've cleared this part of the map, then oh, it shows you where the next part of the map is. And I like that because it takes the audience along with it, especially if the audience like me just doesn't know video games and wouldn't know how this all works. It's like, yes, let me walk you through and explain it ostensibly to the other three people here who don't know about video games, but really also to you audience members who also wouldn't know about video games. Which I like. They do that without it being terribly like, oh, you're children and I need to take your hand and walk you through everything. But it's also, there's not too much referencing the first one besides, it is Jumanji, you're in a jungle, things are trying to kill you. That part all exists. There is a reference to Robin Williams' character by name, though we don't see any of the characters from the first Jumanji. But I like the way they referenced him by name, which was kind of nice. But then there's a thing they do that I'm going to try and not spoil that feels very similar to the first one. And it's just like, okay, but is this going to happen in every Jumanji film where you have to have that character in that situation and then these other characters? And again, I'm trying very, very hard not to spoil, but it's a little hard if it's a little hard to talk about without spoiling. I will say that actor also, when they first arrived, I kind of rolled my eyes, but then I was like, you know what? Actually, for what we do with that character and their storyline, very, very nice. I'm okay. Good choice. But then the ending is, and evidently I read there is sort of a different ending that makes it possible. And that maybe the different ending is what's setting up for a sequel, because there is evidently going to be a sequel, because of course there is. This was a pretty successful film. And, you know, somewhat rightfully so, it was quite enjoyable to watch. Again, the character, the actors played their characters very well. Kevin Hart, who I, again, don't normally like, and is just a little over the top, that over the top works well for the character he's playing and the situation that character is in, which is sort of silly, but I won't tell you why. That works really well. Jack Black and his character and the situation that character is in also works really well. And The Rock, who's playing up to some great things. I love how much The Rock can just sort of have fun with himself and laugh at himself. Like at one point, his character, one of his strengths is this like smoldering intensity, and that's like a power he has. And he uses that as a power, and they're like, can you just turn that on, or is it natural? It's like, it's just natural. It's just like, I love that you can laugh at yourself that much. It's really great. They're all so much fun. This is a fun movie to watch. You don't have to have seen the first one to enjoy this one. It's just, it's a fun movie for probably anyone to watch. So, yes, video games. Still not my cup of tea, but the video game movies were pretty cool. So, yes, thanks for listening to the GSMC Movie Podcast. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.